Three, two, one, ghost. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 321 Ghost. As always, I'm your host with the silent G, Kyle. And also, as always, joined by my pal, Natalie. Hey, Natalie, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. To borrow from our pal, George Clooney, hey, podcast hosts, let's get podcast hosting. Hey, everybody. We're talking about 1996's Quentin Tarantino written, story by Robert Kurtzman. Directed by Robert Rodriguez, well, crime vignette collection and a vampire film from dusk till dawn. How excited are you to talk about this one?
I'm so excited. How long do you want me to wait till I talk about George Clooney?
You look like you're ready to burst, so let's let a little bit of the steam out at least, and just talk about the first time you watched this movie. Talk about the way George Clooney first made you feel, however you're going to share. And we're just going to go from there.
Okay,
So,
great.
floor is yours.
Okay. I definitely saw this movie as a child. It came out in 1996, so we would have been like 9. I couldn't have seen it. I didn't see it in the theater, and I feel like it took a while for things to get onto video. But I may have brought this up before, I'm not sure, but everyone needs to hear it again. Are you familiar with what a black box is?
The thing that's on airplanes.
Oh, I forgot that's also a thing. Maybe there's a different name for it. But it's when you like basically like hacked your cable situation so that you got like free pay-per-view. And growing up, I always had that in my like with my mom, and so I could just watch whatever the fuck I wanted. So I watched this movie a lot as a 10-year-old, and wow. George Clooney. Oh man. This movie had me feeling some feelings. So I already love horror, and I should not have been watching this movie. There's so much tits and just terrible things in it, but George Clooney gave me so many feelings. He is so hot in this movie. I said it out loud like 20 times when I was watching it. Every time he said something, I was like, he's so fucking hot. I wrote down on the paper, he is so fucking hot. Then you had Selma Hayek, who was also so fucking hot, and me as this like tween girl just being confused as to why I'm attracted to George Clooney and Selma Hayek simultaneously. This was an awakening movie for me for sure. So it means a lot to me.
Wonderful. For me, it was Tom Savini and
He looks
that dick
so
gun.
good. No, but this is like the best Tom Savini has ever looked in a movie, I think.
So I'm glad he was wearing a vest because his arms look
His
good.
arms look ripped. Yeah, he looks
Yeah.
really good. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
This is a good movie for Tom
So,
Savini.
God, maybe it was an awakening moment for me. I don't know. Fuck. Here we are. So this
About
movie.
you?
Oh gosh. I distinctly remember watching this. It was either at my friend's house or my friends were over at my house, and somehow we convinced our parents to get it for us from Blockbuster. And shout out to the Blockbuster video, rest in peace, that was on Mira Mesa Boulevard next to the Hungry Howie's Pizza and the Dairy Queen. That's
Are they
fucked
all
up.
closed?
Yeah, they're
They're
all
all
closed.
dead and gone.
There's Dairy Queens up here though. For some I thought Dairy Queens just went out of business because you can never find them
Oh.
in San Diego, but no, they're thriving. So,
Wow.
they're not just
That's
surviving. Yeah, so treat yourself to a dilly bar sometime, everybody, if you can. I remember watching this and I mean, honestly being a little checked out because it was playing and I was like, "Oh, okay, this is just like an adult movie. I'm not really like,
Yeah.
this is just kind of like Pulp Fiction light kind of, And but then so I was probably just back to probably playing my Game Boy or something or whatever, just hanging out. And then fuck, when these vampires show up, I'm like, oh fuck, well, okay.
I didn't know the first time I watched it either. I thought it was a full-on just like crime movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which to my understanding, wasn't necessarily done to pull the curtain, on you or anything. It was just that in the 90s, especially And again, this is 1996, so this we're coming right up to Scream. Horror just wasn't as popular during this period a little bit. So studios were actively almost trying to kind of hide it a little bit. And especially after the success of Pulp Fiction, they were in Reservoir Dogs with Quentin Tarantino, they had this script and they were like, hell yeah, let's do this. But let's just really, frame it as like Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction type, whatever. I mean, like, even on the poster, like, there's not a lot that, I mean,
Like
outside of like,
gun pointing. I mean, you can kind of see little fangs like coming from
the
Salma
W and
Hayek's
Dawn.
mouth. There's a few different ones. There's a few different posters.
The one I'm looking at on Wikipedia is it's just like, them pointing the guns, but just the close-up faces of
Oh yeah.
George Clooney and Tarantino. And then it has the bar and you see
Such
bats, but
a good
that's
shot
it.
of George Clooney with him pointing that gun. Oh
Yeah.
God. I'm gonna put that on my wall.
It's good. All right. I'll find, I'm sure you can find
Wake
it.
up next to it every morning.
I'm gonna be honest with you. This might be a
Oh,
hot take.
I'm so excited for your hot take.
I'm like not that big of a Quentin Tarantino fan, and not feeling like you have to be, but like I really tried, like in high school, with, well, because I mean, I think I was still in high school when Kill Bill came out,
Yeah,
and
Kill
Kill,
Bill
and
came out when we were in high school. I like those movies.
those are my favorites of
Oh,
his,
this
definitely.
is my favorite.
I don't, well, of Quentin Tarantino directed movies,
Oh,
the
okay.
Kill Bills, though I like
That's
the
fair.
idea that there's a character that connects the two. So you're led to believe that vampires exist in Kill Bill as well.
Oh, I don't
So
remember
it's pretty
that.
fun. Yeah, it's the Texas Ranger in the very beginning. He is in, let's see, this movie. He is also in Kill Bill, and he's also in Death Proof. Which I haven't seen in a very long time, which I might, because
Interesting.
qualifies itself as horror, but I don't know. Yeah, gosh. So but this movie like really has just become a staple, like since, I mean, now granted it's been a long time since the last time I saw it. So I had to catch up today. There are some parts where I was like, oh, okay. Ugh, no, I remember this was rougher than I remember. And then some where I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't as rough as I remember it being. So okay, not so bad. But you got a really great cast. Fuck. I mean, of course, George Clooney. Quentin Tarantino, I don't know. Quentin Tarantino acting. He only has that like one voice that he does and the one thing that he does. So I don't really
And his character is kind of one note.
Yeah, and the one note is completely unnecessary anyway. So I don't know. But of course, you've got Juliette Lewis, who is
I
awesome. She's
love
in plenty of
her.
things. Yeah, and she's great in this too. She's also in, she's in Yellow Jackets now, I believe. But I remember seeing her a little bit in it. So she's always awesome. Ernest Liu, who I don't know if he was in anything else outside of this. Salma Hayek, of course, Harvey Keitel, and then fucking, yeah, dude, like I said, you got Cheech Marin, Cheech Marin, and Cheech Marin.
Yeah, he plays three characters. All great.
They're like, who cares? Just like fucking do it. Like,
Just, yes. Why the fuck not?
so he probably ultimately has like as much screen time as, some of the lead characters. Tom Savini, who I mentioned as Sex Machine. I don't
I
know if
love
that's his
it.
legal name at that.
That's his name that he's credited as. So, I mean, we're gonna have to say yes, that's his legal name.
I love it. Fred Williamson, ex-football player, also in a lot of
He's
exploitation
so
movies. He's awesome as Frost. That character is wild.
It's so good.
And then, of course, the staple of a lot of Robert Rodriguez movies, you've got Danny Trejo, who he
Who
shows
also
up.
like this might be his best looking, like he's looking good too. Like, and I don't normally find him attractive. Maybe I'm just watching this movie just being like, damn,
Yeah.
what a hot cast. But yeah, no, he looks really great in that leather vest situation. I dig it. Oh, Danny Trejo. Oh, and there's a cameo from John Saxon, which I never like remembered. He's Nancy's father in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Who does he play again?
He's just a random FBI agent on the news when they do that like news bulletin about the two
Right.
brothers, and they do that really fun graphic of their kill count, which
Yeah.
feels super inappropriate for all the death.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I forgot he's in that. And then Kelly Preston also plays a
Yeah, she's,
reporter, right?
yeah.
I was trying to read a little bit on the production history, and there isn't like a whole lot, or at least I could find after just, maybe not the biggest deep dive. I'll leave that to
Yeah.
the research team. But what I like about it, and I think what kind of a through line through it was, the story was originally conceived by Robert Kurtzman, who's really famous for special effects, makeup, and the makeup and practical effects when they're used, fucking, oh, are spot on
Yes.
in this
They
movie. It
should
looks
have
so
just
good.
stuck with practical effects. We didn't need any CGI. That wasn't, it was too young. Too young.
Yeah. It bums me out when, like, yeah, it's like the shot of like Salma Hayek's like face changing,
Yeah.
where I'm just like, whereas like Fred Williamson, when he fucking tur when Frost turns, and not only when Tom Savini turns, but then also when he becomes that like fucking rat monster thing at the end, just fighting George Clooney, it looks so good. I
Yeah,
love
it
it.
does. I
So,
know.
I really love how everybody looks as
Yeah.
vampires in this. And how do you rank them as far as like vampire look compared to other vampire fare you've seen?
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking a lot about this. This movie has a lot of different versions of what a vampire looks like within itself, which is
Yeah.
wild. I feel like they were just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna do every kind of vampire because you've got like some of them that are like bat creatures. Some of them look kind of like zombies. You've got Selma Hayek as like a snake looking thing. Like there's
Yeah.
so many different versions, and I don't even know what the fuck that rat creature was or how what association of
Mm-hmm.
vampires that has. Like I don't know how you could be beheaded as a vampire and become a rat, but what I like about it is that it feels very campy to just have a million different looking like creatures that are all vampires. And you know,
Yeah.
it feels like they're embracing diversity because you know, not all people look the same. So why would everybody look the same as vampires? I like it. I think it's fun.
As diverse as all of the options offered at the Titty Twister, I just wrote down, diversity.
You know what? For it being called the titty twister, they're really pushing the pussy hard. Like, I'm like, wait, is the focus the
Just I'm curious about the business plan. I'd like to look at their financials and see how that all works out. But hey. It seems like they're meeting a need in that economy. So I guess, but yeah, like I said, I couldn't find like a whole lot as far as like production history. This is the second movie, I think. Don't quote me. Second movie that we've covered that was supposed to be a Tales from the Crypt movie, or at least in its initial conception, between this and Frighteners.
Interesting.
At the time, they were planning on maybe using that script for the next Tales from the Crypt movie, but they ended up going with Bordello of Blood instead. When's the last time you saw that one?
It's been a while, and
Long time.
I feel like I don't remember it very well. But I would rewatch it.
Also, I noticed that this movie is a non-union. So, come on, y'all. Pro-union. I hear that a lot of Robert Rodriguez movies are non-union. I wonder who is non-union. Like, is
I don't even know what that means. Like I know what it means, but I don't know what it means in terms of like making a film.
I think there's just less things they have to abide by. A lot of those now, maybe there's some things that are valid that that's unfair or harder for smaller productions, even though this was. Usually the non-union work is for like really small low budget movies, whereas like this one it's a little more of a reputable production, right? So I don't know. I just thought, I'm like, I wonder if, yeah, like George Clooney was like working outside the union on this movie, or if it was just the crew, which is generally the lowest paid people often, so I'm like, Sure, whatever. Hey, y'all, we're a pro-union podcast.
Even if Natalie doesn't completely understand how it works. I'll leave that to the research team. They can send me a full report so that I know all my shit for the next episode.
We're pro-union unless it's Major League Baseball umpires, and they can go fuck themselves. So that's a 3-2-1 ghost official stance.
I have no strong opinions on that either way.
I'm ready to dive in the movie. Are you?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
Damn, doesn't that Dimension logo just fucking hit hard every time?
It really does. Yeah, it gets me so excited, but I do always think that I'm about to watch Scream.
Yeah. It just hypes me up a little bit every time I see it. I'm just like, yeah, fuck yeah, this movie's gonna be awesome no matter what. Doesn't matter. Don't need to check any other Dimension movies. But yeah, gosh, we open up at this well, we've got that guy, Earl McGraw, I told you. Played by Michael Parks, who's also in a bunch of other things too. He's awesome. I'd like to hand out our I'd like to, if it's okay, submit a nomination for our first Industry Legend Award of the episode. And not to Michael Parks, even though Michael Parks probably
Oh,
deserves
okay.
it, but to my boy John Hawks, who plays
I
our boy
love John
Pete Bottoms.
Hawks. Yeah, that's his name, Pete Bottoms.
Yeah, I rest in peace, Pete Bottoms.
I'll accept that. I love John Hawks.
Oh, he's awesome. I mean, even just like between this, he is. I mean, shit, he's nominated for an Oscar not too long ago. And then he was in Eastbound and Down. I remember watching him in that a lot. And then also, he's Freddie Prinze Jr.'s buddy in I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh shit. Yeah. You of
Yeah.
course. Of course.
So,
I need to keep a tally.
I'll be honest, though. I mean, one thing that I feel that's unchanged since the first time I watched this movie as a child and watching it now is being really just kind of not into the first half. Like it's fine. I watch it because I know it's coming, but and you do kind of set up the characters in, well, I don't want to say like a quieter setting because you're it's all kidnapping and murder and rape and shit. But so this movie, so I'm going to try my hardest to give this first half some some attention, but I really want to get to the vampires though.
I agree, but I will say this. I think there's a lot of interesting and fun things in the first half of the movie before we get to the vampires, but like most things with Quentin Tarantino, there's these like slow mo like moments where like you're listening to conversations that are meant to feel like real conversations. They don't. But I like everything that happens in the convenience store. Like I like the pace of that. I like that as like their little intro. I like when they're leaving and the place is blowing up and he's doing the lecturing Richie about the like low profile thing. Like I think that's pretty fun. So I like that. And then it kind of, then it's like, do we really need a full, hour before we got to vampires? Probably not. But George Clooney is so I'm going to just keep talking about how much I love George Clooney. George Clooney is so entertaining in this movie. Every single line that he delivers is perfectly delivered. His facial expressions, the way he moves, that vest, that terrible tattoo, it's all perfect. It's perfect.
Allegedly, the tattoo is his idea.
I love that even more.
It's
Very
watchable,
90s.
certainly. I just feel like it's just scene after scene of George Clooney is like, "Hey, sit, or I'll shoot you in the face." He threatens to shoot people in the face like a lot in this movie. That's his
I love
go-to.
it.
And then he'll give some spiel about fucking playing it cool, and then we'll fucking pop off.
And then does not play it cool.
Yeah, for people that are really trying to scream at people to play it cool, these two dudes do not play anything fucking cool. Even
No,
at the
they're
fucking bar,
criminals.
when they're at the border, like literally any single time in this movie where they just need to shut the fuck up, they don't. They can't.
The one thing that I do like for the beginning of it, because obviously, like Richie is just a terrible, terrible person. I do enjoy the dynamic of like Seth just going like in circles about like he's like wants to take care of his brother and he thinks that he can fix him, but obviously there's something like very wrong there, like very, very wrong there.
A little
and
bit.
he's and so like you've got this character, like Seth is supposed to be like your hero, you know, but he's also like extremely flawed and terrible. But I enjoy seeing this like this really unhealthy relationship between the two brothers. I like that they build that before, you know, you get to the vampires.
So when, by the time Seth's got to put Richie down, you're thinking like, ah, well, you know, we know these guys' relationship a little bit. I mean, I guess I think that I almost, but not really. So not that close, but I almost feel bad for George Clooney because he's like, hey, I'm just trying to run my shit. And
yeah, he's just trying to do crime.
Yeah. And he's like, I just want to do it the nice way. We're like, I'm like, am I really going to shoot everyone in the face? No, if I don't have to, I don't want to, you know.
I truly believe that he would not. Like, he doesn't harm any hostages.
So when, you know, he comes back to the hotel room, so, you know, they're taking this bank teller. So because they robbed a bank, killed a bunch of people, took the bank teller with them, and then went to the fucking convenience store, set John Hawks on fire, came back. And then so this movie must take place after Kill Bill and Death Proof if this Earl McGraw character's in it. So that's kind of interesting to think. But yeah, when fucking, you know, Quentin Tarantino is just fucking a pervert and a rapist and kills this woman, right? Like, and just the look on Clooney's face when he's just like,
I like to think that Seth would have killed him anyway at some point in their lives, even if he didn't end up becoming a vampire. Like, eventually he'd be like, this is a person that cannot be fixed, at least with the lifestyle that they have.
But yeah, their relationship, it's like, you know, from scolding him for sexual assault or reminding him to put his retainer in, you know, it's like
very fatherly.
Yeah. You know, definitely that, you know, very, father, patriarchal, you know, big brother, whatever, whatever situation. I just like, I'm glad they don't show it like they do in some movies or as bad, but like, I don't know, just, it's just like Quentin Tarantino's whole vibe and being, you know, a rapist and being this, like, I don't know. I guess I just don't, I don't think it's necessary. I don't need it. I don't think it adds anything to the movie or to his like menace by any means.
Oh, and I think it's, completely disagree.
I think it's gratuitous and a lazy take. So it's
okay. I think it is a lazy take. I'll agree with that because I think there's other ways to show someone being malicious and terrible, but it's a quick, easy, lazy way to show that Richie is 100% an absolute piece of shit versus Seth, who is conflicted, needing to take care of his brother. Like, clearly they did not have a strong parental dynamic because of the way he takes care of his younger brother. Like, it's very clear that he was always taking care of him and that he's fucked up. So while I get it, I think because they don't like make it like a scene, like you're not seeing the act happen and all of those things, and like seeing how George Clooney like reacts to it and like the fact that he's disgusted and like so fucking disappointed. Like, I like it in that way. I think that it builds a whole history of these two brothers in that moment. So while, yes, I would rather not see rape in movies, they're fucking criminals. I bet there's a lot of criminals out there raping. Like, that's just facts. So I think it's a good way to just, let's check this box. He's a piece of shit. Now we know. So as soon as Juliette Lewis enters the equation and you've got this young girl, everybody's like, oh fuck, if he did that to that like very plain bank teller, sorry to that actress. I mean, but Juliette Lewis, like, she's like 23 in this movie, but she's supposed to be playing under 21 because she says she's not 21 yet. Then you're like, safety alert like goes off. You're like, oh no, this man cannot be around that young girl. So like, and of course she enters in a bikini. So I like it because it's like, for how long they spend on this fucking part of the movie, it tells you that story real quick, and it puts danger into the situation through Richie. Like, and Seth is almost like a little safety, like a safety net almost for this poor young girl. So that's how I feel about it. Of course, Kyle's a little bit more sensitive than I
Very sensitive. But to
am.
be fair, I remember that scene being more graphic than I remember. So
I actually did too.
that's a relief. And then too, like between, at least the original time I watched it as a kid, or like this movie was on TV a lot too. So you're also getting edited versions. That's the hard part, y'all.
But I watched this version for sure. Like
Yeah.
I was watching that fucking pay-per-view version. So there the titties were out, like all of it. So it's I probably didn't understand the rape dynamic of it at that age. I probably was more noticing just that, like, oh, he definitely murdered her. I think the things I forgot about the most in this movie was just like the use of the R word. They say the F word multiple times, and I'm like, it's 1996, so like, surprise, surprise. But that I completely had forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, anytime we're gonna dip back into these movies, we're gonna find that plenty. It's a little rough.
And Tarantino really fucking pushes it with like the language that he uses in his other films as well. Like he's kind of known for that at this point, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about that.
I don't think I've even seen a Tarantino movie since Kill Bill 2.
Oh no, I haven't either. I've just read, like I know that he uses the N-word in a lot of his films like quite egregiously, and people are kind of like, do you need to use it that much? Like, do your characters need to say it that much? I'm sure he
Has some bullshit.
argues it in a way that it's relevant to the film, or you know, like, well, if it was this time, they actually would say those things. And like, I do think there's a time and a place for that, and like, you know, and in the right context, but it's like the overusage of it that is a lot. So I don't really know much about him, like as a person, other than maybe like the foot stuff, but which we can talk about.
Yeah.
But I stopped watching a lot of his like newer films. I don't know what the last, maybe it was Kill Bill is the last one of his that I've watched.
So we're introduced to also this family.
So you've got Jacob, Kate, and Scott.
Right, yeah, Jacob, Kate, and Scott. Harvey Keitel, who is like doing his best like John Hammond from Jurassic Park cosplay. Right? Don't you totally get those vibes?
I never thought about that or made that connection before, but as soon as you said it, I thought of him sitting at that fucking diner
Yeah.
with that hat and that white shirt. Yeah, he looks like he's gonna open up Jurassic Park, absolutely.
So they're going on a vacation somewhere. I mean, I don't know. I think he's just,
Mexico.
oh, right. Well, were they actually going to Mexico?
They were going to Mexico anyway.
Oh, I
So
thought
it
they were
worked
just
out for
making.
everybody. They were all going to the Titty Twister to begin with.
Okay. I thought he was, well, when they're at the border and he's like, oh, I'm taking his first bullfight, which I'm like, also like, hey, fuck bull. Like, okay. Bullfighting.
Yeah, we just
It
talked about
sucks.
this.
I know. I understand its cultural importance. Yes, and they kill the bulls
Yeah, they have
at the end of
to
all of these. No, they
because of
don't.
what? No, I'm saying they have to because of what they like, they the situation they put them in, like
Yeah, or they're like stabbing a
for the
bunch of.
safety of people. Yeah.
Fuck the safety of people. That bull needs to just eat everybody.
We don't care about anybody else's safety, so.
It's always fun to see those photos of bullfighters. Like getting like impaled and shit. Like there's one where like a horn's
Oh my gosh, those are so intense.
there's a good one where the horn goes up through his jaw and like out his mouth. It's so fucking cool.
I've
Fuck
seen that, yeah.
that. Or like one where like goes like right up this dude's asshole and I'm like that is it is destroyed at that point.
I hope everyone else is catching this because Kyle's moral compass I love that that would be entertaining for you. And most other things are just too much.
Well, I mean, if someone fucked around and found out with a ball, like, hey, that's the bank teller was just telling it a bank, right? As she does. I'm like, she wasn't asking for any of this. Whereas, like, that bullfighter, like, sorry, bro, that's fucking on you, dude. Doesn't matter how colorful your costume is, dude. It's just covered in blood now.
Yeah, it's the color red.
So they make their way to the same motel that the Gecko brothers are at. And, you know, then it happens like pretty quick. I mean, gosh, they see the RV and they're like, all right, fine, fuck. Hey,
Yeah,
let's
they're like,
fucking,
this is a perfect situation.
this will
That's what
work.
you get for driving an RV around and staying at a fucking motel.
Yeah. And then again, you know, we've got George Clooney just fucking coming in hot, you know, just being like, sit down, I'll shoot you in the fucking face. Do you want to get shot in the face? I'll shoot you in the face. It's his go-to thing. Even though Harvey Keitel,
He's cool as a cucumber.
he needs to not be like coming back with like whatever final statements and shit, like coming back being like, you know, no, you're not, we're not doing this and this and this and this. And and then what does George Clooney say? He's just like, that's where he's like, you know, my kids aren't coming with you, and that's that. And then George Clooney goes, that's not fucking that, this is fucking this, and like points a gun at fuck, he's like, I will kill this fucking kid.
He has the best lines, even
Yeah.
though he does talk about shooting people in the face a lot.
Yeah, it's a little one note, but that's okay. And I don't think he ever ended up shooting anyone in the face in the movie.
Who shoots the ranger at the convenience store in the beginning? Because he gets shot in the face, and it's
Oh, he does get shot in
awesome.
the face.
Because his
Yeah.
mouth, I don't know if you notice, his mouth does this thing where it kind of like his jaw is like chattering almost. It's amazing.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, I do like, always love a good post-death jitter. A little
So
bit,
good.
a little clatter. So, but yeah, just, you know, two fucking just tough guys just trying to have their tough guy exchange, being like, well, I'm gonna do this, and no, you're not. And it's, you're like, okay, y'all need to cool down.
I mean, whoever has the gun, really, like I'm pretty sassy and like I'm quick to throw an insult back, but if someone was holding a gun to my head or to my children's head, like my child's head, I would keep my fucking mouth shut, zipped.
Yeah, no
No
kidding,
sassy comebacks.
dude. Especially because, and that's the other thing with George Clooney's character, where I'm just like, hey man, you can't get super mad at Quentin Tarantino for doing his whole fucking being a rapist asshole situation, and then turn around and use it as a threat to Harvey Keitel, being like, hey man, I saw how fucking my brother was looking at your daughter. Do you want fucking shit to go down? So here's, and I'm just like, you could also stop that, George Clooney. You know, you don't have to also use it to get what you want. So that's why I'm like, hey,
This
bro.
may be me having bias towards loving George Clooney, but
Sure.
I don't think he ever would have let anything happen to that girl,
Probably not. Maybe not.
regardless of how the dad acted.
I think he would kill her. I think he would kill all three of them.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think he would have let his brother rape her, is what I'm saying. I think he would have shot her in the face. Absolutely.
I hope so. That would be my hope.
For consistency, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so fuck. They're just like, hey, you know, well, you know, we're gonna run over to Mexico and make it happen. And then they need to get to this spot called El Rey, where it's allegedly this just like bastion for, you know, this like retirement resort for
For like
fugitives.
criminals.
Yeah.
So
So
sounds interesting.
you learn a little bit more about Harvey Keitel and his wife. Yeah, I don't know. This whole idea of him like being like a pastor, like has like lost his faith and this and this and this. I'm also like, hey bro, like there's a lot of death and violence and just unspeakable fucking nightmarish shit in the world. But when something happens to you personally, and like even then, not really an act of God, you knew the brakes weren't good. It was raining out. So like, no, God had nothing to do with this. But like you lose your faith for that when something just personally affects you. Come on, dude, get out of here.
That is such a human reaction, though. Like when you're thinking big picture of like other people that you don't know, maybe this is just me not being super sympathetic or empathetic, but like I tend to react to things way more if it like hits me like super personally rather than like, seeing it on the news, that's a different situation. But I think my favorite drawn out conversation of this movie is George Clooney and the dad in the RV, like when he's like, showing the picture of the wife and he's like, who's this? And like, he's telling the story and all of that and saying how, she was like sandwiched between two cars for like 6 hours or something. That's fucking brutal. I like that whole conversation and him like asking him if he's the real deal, like with the, being a preacher. But then at the end, just being like, I don't give a fuck about you or your family, which I'm like, you wouldn't have asked all those questions if you didn't care. Why not? Why not get to know them?
Now, when they get to the border, again, well, granted, Richie starts it because he's a dumb asshole, but I'm like, y'all, for as chill as y'all fucking yell at people to be, they would have been just fucking fine. They would have gotten through just fucking fine
Oh, the
if it wasn't for
bathroom
them.
situation.
Yeah. And I'm still not entirely sure where everybody ended up, because by the time Cheech Marin opens the door, sees Juliette Lewis sitting on the
And the
toilet.
shower was open.
Yeah, so where are they? And I know how small those bathrooms are
Oh,
on
they're
RVs.
fucking tiny.
So I don't know exactly how all that worked out. And also Cheech Marin, again, like fucking what?
Just what, like smiling at her, hesitating to close the door, that smirk that he gives her when she's on the toilet. I'm like, number one, totally gross and pervy. But also, number two, like, that's not even an attractive situation. Nothing about that situation is attractive. Get out of there. That's gross.
Yeah, this is just I don't know, and we don't know how old she's supposed to be. We just know she's not 21,
I
but
would bet she's like 19 or 20.
and then Scott's probably like 16,
Yeah. Scott's my
probably.
least favorite.
Yeah, would you? So let me ask you: would you side with Scott here? Like when he's like, Dad, you need to tell them that they're back there. Like you need to tell the fucking cops, or I will. You
Oh
know.
no, absolutely not. Like your sister's gonna be fucking dead. I would not. Because what do they have to lose at that point? Like Seth and Richie, like they could just go, like just guns a-blazin'. So I would say no, but I do think it would have been, well, I guess I couldn't really mention that Kate was there. But yeah, I don't agree with him. Do you? Would you have said something?
Well, right, isn't the stat that like your chance of surviving like goes to like next to nothing when you're taken to a separate loc to a second location?
Oh, really? I don't know that. I don't know that stat.
Pretty sure that's a thing. I'll check the research team
Okay,
on that.
but think of it this way. Like, if they're crossing the border patrol's not thinking that they have wanted fugitives in the RV. So like they're not gonna be fucking prepared for that. Whereas George Clooney and his brother are totally gonna be prepared to just like fucking shoot motherfuckers in the face. Like I don't think it would go well for anybody. So I think it's you just need to trust your dad on that one. Like he's older and wiser, you know?
Look how that worked for everybody.
Well, okay. I mean, it was either die at the border or die at the titty twister. And
Fair.
honestly, like, would you rather die at the border in a gunfight or have killed and fought a bunch of vampires and then died? Because that sounds way more fun.
Yeah, that's true. Good call.
Right? Thank you.
So they get across the border. I love that. Fucking, George Clooney, first thing he does, he just like grabs Scott's head and shakes it and says, "We're in fucking Mexico, you little piece of shit." I love it. And then of course, he knocks out fucking Tarantino and breaks his glasses. I did think it was like I was like kind of like aw moment when he comes to and
Yeah, he
George
just
Clooney's
lies
like,
to
yeah, he's like, "Hey buddy, I was really scared for you. Just, you held your hand," and it was his hands all super fucked up, from the beginning of the movie, and just being like, just hit your head on the toilet. What's, just you okay? I was very scared for you,
you just passed out.
Yeah. Which I'm like, how hard do you need to get hit? I guess I've never, I mean, I don't know. I've experienced some head trauma and remembered a little bit of things,
Have
but.
you ever been knocked out or passed out?
Yeah, I was. I mean, remember, I was in that gnarly car accident, and I
Oh
thought,
yeah.
and when,
But did you remember like events, like immediate events leading up to it?
I remember getting, hey y'all, I'm alive, so everything works. So it's fun to tell the story now. But yeah, no, when so I got hit and then I like spun out, and then I remember launching like into the air and like my car like
Terrifying.
tumbling, right? But I do remember specifically, yeah, me going fuck, fuck, as you know, the glass and dirt and shit, everything's crashing
Did
down
you
or
think you were
whatever.
gonna die?
I don't know. I don't really think about those things, but I'm not sure. But I remember everything slowing, but then for a moment, everything slowing down. I remember just thinking how mad my mom was going to be at me because the car got totaled. That was the only thing I could think of, I think, when I was doing that, when that was happening. But then when I
Oh,
thought,
your brain was trying to simplify the events like
I
to
think
different
so.
stress. Yeah.
So when the
Also,
car
your mom
landed,
is a badass for putting that fear into you while you're like possibly dying.
I know. So when I landed and the car landed upside down, I just thought, I was like, oh fuck. Okay, here I am. Shit. Okay, now let's try to get out of this car. And but it turns out I was like out for like 45 minutes, maybe. So not
Oh.
like, so I don't know.
But so you do remember pretty clearly.
But yeah, so I remember that, but I was just,
Let's
yeah.
see. The reason why I asked is because I passed out once when I was maybe like 17. I don't know if I was dehydrated or what the fuck happened, but it is hot in Temecula in the summer, y'all. And I passed out when I was walking home from school. And I
Fuck.
did not. Yeah, I did not remember like half of that walk. So, I think you can have like that right before like memory loss. So maybe if it's like you're not in good health or something like that versus like a traumatic like event, but I mean he did like knock him in the head. So, I don't
Yeah.
know. Or it depends on, the brain. Maybe your memory recall is better than mine.
So we make it to Mexico and we make it to the Titty Twister, which really, I mean, I don't frequent strip clubs, you know? So, but this looks like the fucking Disneyland of strip clubs.
It looks fucking wild. And honestly, like that's like the best assortment of strippers. Like clearly all these women are models.
Well, I mean, they're vampires, so they can, you
Well,
know.
I
I
mean
know
like
what you
in
mean.
real life.
Yeah, you know, need to get Cheech Marin's second character, who's, you know, does
I
his whole
love him.
spiel, his whole advertising pitch.
So many different kinds of pussy.
You know, like I'm again, sure, the diversity, that's good, but I don't like animals being offered. What the fuck's that
Yeah,
about?
that's super weird.
That's
But
not
okay.
consensual.
Also, do you really need to lure men into a strip club? Like he's like making it like he has like this great offer, like he has to like sell it to them, and I'm like, no, like the truckers will come, like they'll go to see the women, like you don't have to yell out that there's pussy, we all know.
Again, you know, fucking cool as a cucumber, fucking, you know, Gecko Brothers. First thing they come is break his hand and knock him out and then kick the shit out of him. I'm like, what establishment? I get this is your kind of off the beaten path, kind of seedier establishment, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure you still can't assault the employees before you even walk into the
No.
door. So I'm like, dude, play it cool. And then again, at the fucking bar with Danny Trejo, just not playing it cool. And then you have to have fucking Harvey Keitel being like, oh, well, hello, mister. Here's my class two driver's
I
license.
love that it works.
I know. I love that they're just like, oh, fuck, we got to honor that rule. Fuck, he's right.
They're fucking vampires, and they're like, God damn it, he does have a truck driving license.
Not even, and even not
On
in
our
that.
code of conduct on the wall, it's set in stone.
And it's not even a driver's license from that country. I'm like, so it's not
Oh,
even like.
yeah, that's true. Or, like, I mean, it's a recreational vehicle as well. So he even says that. Like, I would have just been like, it's a truck. Of course.
It's such a dorky move. I love it.
It's a dorky dad move for sure. But hey, he gets them to be able to stay. I mean, probably would have been better if they got kicked out. But I'm assuming they only allow truckers and bikers because no one will come to find them.
you know, people would be expecting shipments of stuff.
Yeah, but where, like, you don't know where the fuck they ended up.
Yeah. And then we're also introduced, right, to Tom Savini's sex machine.
Oh, so good. He's so good in this movie.
Yeah, he's great in this.
He's great in everything.
Yeah, he's great in everything. All, you know, and
did he do like the makeup effects and things in this movie? Do you know?
I don't know.
I didn't look into that.
I am not sure.
But he definitely acts the shit out of it. I love that penis gun situation.
How like effective and useful is that gun? How does that work? Where's the trigger?
The other thing, well, there's that. I think the thrust, like I think him thrusting is the trigger. Am I wrong?
It could be.
But what my brain went to is like, if you shoot a gun, it pushes back at you like pretty powerfully. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing that from your dick,
yeah,
it's gonna push back. Like that seems like it would be painful, right?
Yeah, so maybe
I don't have a dick, but if I did, I wouldn't want to put a gun on it.
I mean, I think that would still be painful to put that down in your genitals, regardless of what your genital situation is.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, just to get that blowback.
Yeah,
but gosh, yeah, you got him, and then you've got Fred Williamson's Frost, who's really fun too. I just like,
yeah,
his.
And the interactions between them as well, yeah, like when they're murdering vampires is so fun.
It felt like they were born to do it. They're like, we were just ready for this.
Like this is their calling for sure. Yeah.
And I wonder, like, I mean, granted, they've been doing this for a long time, the vampires. I like was getting a feeling where like, were they, maybe this was an off night and they weren't ever going to like eat anybody that night, but fucking the Gecko brothers just made a scene and we're like, you know what? Fuck it. Fine.
Blood
you
all
know
over what? That hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is our off night. You know, we were.
Yeah.
We were
I doubt they're like murdering people every single night. If they did that, they'd get caught pretty quick. Probably.
You would think, or at least like, I just imagine the Yelp reviews would be at least a little lower, but
who's leaving them, Kyle? Who's leaving the Yelp reviews? They're all dead.
I also think it's kind of dumb that like, not only did they lock people in so they could feast on them, but they also like locked all the other vampires out, you know? So like all the bats are circling around. There's no back door. Like nobody else has like the key.
Yeah. Like just leave something open so they can come in when the opportunity is right.
Cause literally it isn't until, you know, you throw a sex machine out a window that mm-hmm. all the bats start flying in. And then you have, how do you pronounce it? Satanico Pandemonium is a Salma Hayek's name.
Yeah. I love that name. Her with that snake and how it goes through her hair and that outfit. Oh, it's perfect. It's a perfect scene in a movie. She looks so good. Like that is Salma Hayek at the top of her game. I mean, she looks fucking amazing still, but yeah. Wow.
I don't know. Yeah. She doesn't look like she's aged much. That's wild. This movie's like nearly 30 years old. Yeah. I don't know. Would you dance with a snake like that?
Oh, absolutely not. I thought you were going to ask, would I dance at a strip club? I'm like, oh, sure. But not with a snake. Absolutely not.
Be like, hey, we've got the opportunity, but we need someone to dance with a snake. Is anyone willing to do this?
No.
And not even just like
a
snake.
I would be terrified.
It's like a fucking, yeah, giant ass fucking.
She definitely actually is wearing that snake. Like that is a living snake on her. So I'm assuming that she had to have some sort of training with it, but she's keeping her cool. Like she's moving nice and calm and smooth, even though it's just kind of, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Britney Spears did it too.
If Tarantino's involved, you've got more foot shots, which I don't
know. Do we think that's her foot or do we think that that's someone else's foot?
I hope she was like, I'm not putting my foot anywhere near that man. no, thank you. Cause I don't need someone in a position of power to make opportunities to satisfy his sex fetishes in a professional setting.
But
okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I was ready for this. I was fucking ready for this. I knew you were going to say that shit. Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay.
So let's say, I mean, we don't have to let's say, we know that Quentin Tarantino will find a way to put feet very prominently in his films. And this is like super egregious because it's actually the foot like in his mouth. So I don't know if it's Selma Hayek's foot. We could send that to the research team. But also, and I'm actually asking you this question, I'm not like trying to challenge you. How is that different than if we'll say, like, you write a screenplay for a movie and you cast a beautiful actress and you put like a really over the top, like freaky, like sex scene. And they're not doing like foot play, but they're just fucking, I don't know, slapping ass, sucking on titties, whatever it may be. Like it's some level of like acting slash like maybe like borderline porn. How is it different?
Well, it depends. I mean, is it like a scene that he's writing for himself to be
Like if it
in?
was a scene, if it was a scene you were writing for yourself to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I still think that's weird.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you weren't just singling out the foot action.
And only because, and again, because it seems to only go one way, right? It
That's true.
is dudes in the position of control here and Salma Hayek being like, hey, just put me in movies. I'll put my foot in your mouth. Fuck you, fucking weirdo, whatever. Give me my paycheck. Get the fuck out of here. I gotta go film Wild Wild West.
Oh yeah. Oh, I
So
love her in that too.
I can't say I like the movie, so I can't say anything glowing about anybody's performance in it necessarily. But
I
I mean, but the song is fucking awesome. So
like her in
that's
everything. I think Wild Wild West is problematic but entertaining.
Sure.
We'll talk about that one soon. Put it on the schedule.
So with no forethought, like fucking they're sitting here like during this dance and Cheech Marin and Danny Trejo and they all come up and they're just like, hey, and Cheech Marin's like, yeah, dude, these are the fucking assholes that broke my nose and
Yeah.
my fucking fingers. Like,
Yeah.
what did you think? I was just gonna be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go back to my advertising spiel outside here with my, I'm just gonna go back to how things were. I'm like, how did you not think that was gonna catch up to you immediately?
Yeah.
You're in the bar, you're
Yeah.
literally just inside. So
I think it actually took him quite a while to get to them.
yeah, quite a while. I'm like, you're letting them, you're serving them, you're letting, like, I don't know, but
Maybe he was
whatever.
knocked out, just passed out.
But thank God though, because
This is where
finally we get
shit
to.
turns around.
Yeah, and it's super fun. I just don't think we're as shocked as maybe we were watching it for the first time,
Yeah, yeah.
but it's awesome. I think maybe if this, I could just see this turning people off at this point, but fuck, I'm all here for it. This is the main event.
I think what's so great about this part of the movie and what makes it so special is that it feels like a completely different movie, but still, like, you know these characters well enough that you're in the same movie, if that makes sense. But, like, it is like full camp. Like, it is really, really campy, all the shit that happens. It's quite fun.
Oh, one thing I forgot when they introduced Satanica. What the fuck's her name again?
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium. I just love that intro from Danny Trejo, the mistress of the macabre, the epitome of evil, the most sinister woman to dance on the face of this earth. And I was wondering,
I would love to be introduced
yeah, I
that
was like, how many times have you been introduced that
way.
way?
Never, but I would love to be.
Just made me think of you.
You should have introduced me that way at the beginning of this episode.
Dang, should I start over?
Let's just start over.
Yeah. And then also I guess I didn't see where they locked the doors, because when all of this is like initially going on, when it's just a couple vampires, everybody in the bar is still just sitting there and like watching. I'm like, is nobody trying to get up and leave at this point? I'm like, I'm good. I saw.
I think the doors were already locked.
And that's wild. Just locking
Yeah.
all the other vampires out too. That made no sense.
Well, I mean, you have to, I guess, because you can only fit so many people in the bar. You can't have bats just fucking flying around. That's going to be alarming for people. So you trap all the truckers and bikers that are in there. You kill them, you turn them or eat them, and then you let all your friends in. They didn't think that these four or however many of them there are were going to be awesome at fighting vampires just right off the bat. Right?
Yeah. It sucks also, that they're...
The band. Can we talk about the band?
The band's so cool. And then the fucking body part instruments.
The band is very great. But when did they have time to construct that fucking body guitar?
Hell yeah.
When did that happen?
I don't know how well that guitar sounds. I don't think
it would sound great.
Yeah, I don't think it would sound particularly good. Because I felt like the band didn't miss a beat when they switched over to body parts.
Yeah. Yeah, it did sound still pretty good.
And have the ability to just self-destruct when they need to.
I know. I was like, wait, did they just...
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely love all the carnage here. I love, you know, the heads coming off and throats being slit and fucking arms being ripped off. And yeah, like all the body parts, all the blood, all the carnage, all of it.
Yeah, this movie delivers on the like blood and guts and even like the vampire deaths. I love the way the vampires die. Like the melting faces, the green blood, the one with the fucking our pussy advertiser, his eyes like pop out and just like squirt all over Kate's face. Oh, yeah. It's so gross. Yeah, it's super fun though.
Dude, fucking Frost with the heart rip. Always love a good ripping out a heart.
And then we get our number two pencil. Just
I know.
Right in the heart. I love it that there was just a pencil at this bar.
And then, of course, you know, George Clooney's got, you know, takes out Salma Hayek. Dumb line. You know, she's like, I'm going to make you my slave. And he's like, no, thanks. Already had a wife. Boom. I'm like,
I can't picture that character being married, number one. And also, I feel like that line has to be like they were like trying to be silly and like self-aware. But I also can't even see that character saying that line. I don't know. It feels very out of place, but I thought it was kind of funny.
It's pretty good. They were able to take out all the vampires, or at least almost all of them in that room.
They kicked ass.
Which is really good. Though, gosh, I just, you know, we can talk about it when in another part, but I get kind of confused by the vampire lore here. I mean, I know that there's some differences sometimes.
How so? Let's dig into it.
Well, before we get to these weird shaky vampire rules, though, I just wrote down Quentin Francantino.
Stupid. That's so dumb. I like the way he looks as a vampire. The thing that I don't like is that weird cut of him looking like that Frankenstein's monster vampire. And then he like switches back to like kind of his like normal Tarantino face with just like the weird eyes and the little baby fangs. And then as soon as they grab him, he's back to, what was it?
Quentin Francantino.
He turns back into Quentin Francantino. So that was a weird cut, but I like the way he looks, and I like the way he moves. He kind of like sways almost like in like Street Fighter when they're not moving, like that, like back and forth, you know?
Yeah, I know. He's just pacing. He's just ready. He's just vibing, you know? He's like, I like this new situation I found myself in.
And he seems like he's very strong.
Yeah. Like
very strong.
I love how, you know, Harvey Keitel or maybe Frost, they're like, you know, hey man, we got to kill him. You know, he's not your brother anymore. And he, you know, and Clooney just goes, shut up. And then in his like vampire speak, Quentin Tarantino also goes, yeah, shut up.
Shut up. Yeah. I know. I love it.
I thought that was super fun. But like, gosh, I just thought that maybe with everything we've learned of the relationship between those two, that like, I think this would be like a weight lifted off its shoulders, really, to get rid of Richie.
Well, that's why I'm saying, I think even if he didn't turn into a vampire, I think he eventually would have fucking killed him and just put him out of his misery. Like what he says before he kills him, he says like, you know, hoping he can give him the peace in death that he couldn't give him in life. Like, Like, yeah, you would have ended up killing your brother. He's a fucked up individual. Obviously, you have no issues with murdering. So just get rid of him. He's
Yeah.
a problem.
And then I guess, well, I guess we're maybe led to assume that anybody else that was outside of the bar, and anybody else who'd be rolling up to the bar just at night, probably is all getting killed outside by the bats and vampires and stuff, I'd assume.
I think
Just,
that's a safe assumption. Yeah.
yeah. And then you have so everyone's going around putting everybody down. Takes Kate a little bit to get comfy doing it.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. And
I
then,
think I would be the same way. Like if I had to, like if I wasn't like immediately threatened by danger in that moment, I probably would be like, where exactly is the heart?
yeah.
Do I know exactly where it is?
Just keep stabbing around in the chest. You'll find it. It's somewhere in there. And I think this is when Sex Machine gets bit, right? Because he's like distracted looking at her, and then someone else pops up, bites him, puts it down. And
Okay,
then,
before we get to him, because his changing and transforming is so fun. I was thinking about what you said about like the inconsistencies or like, you know, in the vampire lore.
yeah.
I also think that that is really over the top and intentional that they kind of give you like every version of how someone would turn into a vampire. Like, is it instantly? Do you die first and then wake back up? Are you still running around and slowly change almost as if you're zombified? I feel like they give you like all the different options. Like, I'm okay with it. Like, I feel good about it.
Let's pop into our next segment, vampire rules. And this, if it feels more like I'm fine with taking some liberties, sure. It's, I don't, it just feels more like zombie rules, you know,
Yeah,
where it's
that's fair.
like, you know, yeah, sure. I mean, get him in the heart, even though maybe you can shoot him in the head, which isn't always vampires. I
Zombies,
think
you can't kill by getting them in the heart.
it's got to be the head,
It has to be the
usually.
head. Yeah.
So, or full dismemberment, or maybe just decapitation. Maybe you just got to separate the brain from the brainstem. I don't know.
You had to
So
destroy the brain.
now they're super strong, but they're also very soft and
Which
weak
I
too.
love. Yeah.
So it's easy. Like if you just hit them in the head hard enough, their head will just fly right off. Which I'm like, it just seems like a just evolutionary defect, I suppose, to
Yeah,
be
I
like,
could see that.
yeah. I also, speaking of just zombies, you know, when Sex Machine gets bit, I like, because it's always a trope in zombie movies, the person that gets bit and then hides it from
Yes.
everybody
It's like,
until
what
it's
the
too
fuck is that
late.
going to help?
I love that so much.
No, and I love the way that he hides it. Like, he puts his leather jacket back on. And the whole bit of Frost like telling his dramatic story about his experience in Vietnam. And then like the sound just kind of drops out. And why I think Sex Machine is his legal name
Is
is
because, oh,
because
thank
they
you.
whisper it. They whisper it to him. Because they would have been like, John, if like that was his name.
Yeah, but
But
they.
no, they say Sex Machine. So I'm calling it. I'm gonna say that is his legal name.
I love it. Good. I wrote that down too. I like how the demons also call him Sex Machine, because they're just being respectful, or that's it's on his ID, you know. I don't know.
It's on his
It's got to be a
ID.
legal name. So, but yeah, and then also just the story from Frost and in Vietnam, and then just like I like how. You know, and then you see Scott turn to a sex machine who's like, you know,
Hiding
keeping
his
his
hands.
hands. Yeah, just being really
Just being
chill. Just
real not chill.
while at the same time, you see everybody else just like, just very politely, just listen, watching Frost like just make stab motions over and over and over again.
Just reliving his traumatic experience.
Oh my
Like,
gosh.
that's gonna make anyone feel any better, that story.
And then when Sex Machine, like, oh God, and then he finds the tooth, you know, the fang that's sticking out.
So good.
And
I love the way he covers his mouth and his eyes go up. Like, it's very cartoonish.
He's so good. I love that transformation. And then especially when Frost is finishing his story, and then his you can see Sex Machine's like two
Oh,
hands crawl up
little
his
fingers.
shoulders.
Oh,
Woo!
yes, it's so good.
But then
So
he
good. So
turns,
silly.
so he bites Frost, and but Frost turns like very quickly.
Immediately.
Yeah, like within minutes. Whereas later on, well, of course, he throws Sex Machine through a window. It's not the last we see a Sex Machine. Then I'm like, fuck, now I'm like, now all the fucking bats, now he just made it way worse.
So much worse.
And he hadn't even been turned yet. I'm like, Frost, fuck, man. You just
I
made this
love
way.
the I do love the shot though of the bats like flying in and Frost like pointing. That's really fun.
Yeah. I love his makeup too.
Yeah,
What
his
they put
face
on
looks
his
so
face.
good.
It looks really good. It reminds me a little bit. I know it's not the
And his
same.
neck is real thick. Like they like thickened
Yeah.
up his neck.
He like just reminds me, he just looks like he could be like one of those like dinosaur monsters in that 90s Super Mario Brothers movie. So I love that. So then at this point, fuck, oh geez. Then again, there's only like half an hour left of this movie at this point.
And four people standing.
Right. And with one bit. So it's but the same thing, like when Harvey Keitel gets bit, then he's like, I probably got an hour. Like, I'll be
Yeah,
good,
just like where did he get that time estimate from?
Yeah. And then I did think it was pretty interesting, again, just with how kind of loosey-goosey we're being with vampire rules, where like George Clooney's like, okay, clearly these are vampires. Or it's like how, like in that initial fight, like how did Juliette Lewis know to like put her like cross necklace like in its
I mean,
mouth?
if you were in that situation, wouldn't you be like, fuck, I think these are vampires. I should probably think of all the things that could kill vampires. And she knows she's wearing that cross. Although I find it hard to believe that that tiny little baby cross would have just fucking melted the shit out of him. Like,
Yeah.
crosses have a really big effect on them. So that was interesting. But yeah, I would feel pretty clear that they're vampires right off the bat.
Which, sorry, excuse my ignorance here, but you also learned that like, the titty twister is on the top of what I believe is an Aztec temple.
Yeah, it's huge.
Do they give a fuck about Christ and the cross? Like, that's where I'm kind of like, why? And that's where I'm like, hey, hey, look.
I know vampires are very Catholic, which is interesting.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of, crosses and God being the answer to all demon shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, let's find what your culture's version of it is. And then maybe figure out a way to make that work. And then I don't know. So, because yeah, then all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, Harvey Keitel's like, yeah, I lost my faith. Sorry, But then he's like, well, are you going to be mean fucking servant of God or what? And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm back. Your boy's back. So,
I mean, if it was gonna save my life, I'd fucking be like, how do I become a preacher?
it's funny. Like, I'm not a believer, but I'm like, yeah, but if I saw some shit, or it's like, what's his face? When George Clooney's like, I believe in my own two eyes, and what I saw was a fucking vampire.
Yeah, though no, that's a perfect way to put it. I think that's why I love his character so much. 'Cause I'm like, yeah, I'd be saying the same thing. I'd be like, yeah, I don't believe in this, but I'm pretty sure we're dealing with fucking vampires.
So then, fuck, that's like way too many fucking vampires after fucking they all fly in, right? So they make their way to the back through those tunnels, like, where they're like stashing all the stolen goods and shit like that.
Super fun.
Harvey Keitel, a little bit behind, but he makes his way in and then has his whole plan. He's like, hey, I'm going to be turning in an hour. This dude's all of a sudden a vampire expert now. I feel like
Mean,
everybody,
you
like,
learn fast in the streets, am I right?
I suppose so. And then they're just like, all right, well, hey, we need to fucking kill all of them because we're not gonna make it that long. They're gonna make their way in. And I was curious, I wanted to ask you, Gosh, what would be, out of all the tools at your disposal, what would you would be your preferred vampire killing method?
I'll tell you what fucking wouldn't be the crossbow. When Kate is like grabbing that crossbow, I was like, as cool as that looks, and as much as I would love to live my Buffy the Vampire Slayer fantasy, there's no way I'm surviving with a crossbow. I actually really liked the water gun situation and the condoms filled with the holy water. Like those were condoms, right? They're not regular balloons.
No.
I think that's the easiest way to just get them away from you. But I do really love how ridiculous George Clooney's weapon is. I don't know what it is like that is causing that giant stake to just go back and forth. But it's pretty good. It's so inconvenient. I don't know why anyone would choose that. So my answer, my long answer to a short question is the water gun and the water balloons.
See, I was thinking, like, I hear you. I
What would you
don't,
choose?
probably none of those. I mean, like, the
None
shotgun
of those.
toss is pretty good because you've
Yeah,
got
that's
your,
pretty good. Yeah.
because you got your defense and your offense right there,
Okay.
which is
Yeah.
pretty good. I get it with the water guns. My whole thing, though, is like, look, you all have something sharp that we know no matter what you believe, no matter what happens, like this will pierce and ultimately, hopefully, lead to killing vampires. You, Dad, have been off your game for a minute here. We have not tested to see if you blessing water still makes it
Bet.
holy.
That's
And
true.
if we know that holy water will, blessed by a Christian pastor, will have any effect on these things, I would be like, look, dude, you need a couple key, at least keep something on your side, like, so you're
That's
not just leaning
fair.
on water. I would not go out there being like, oh man, I've got the squirt gun. This could end up looking really embarrassing for me.
It was very effective.
Well, it
I'm
was,
going
but
off
I'm
of the information that I know. I mean, okay, maybe what they could have done was open the door and just fucking whoop, just throw one of those little condom balloons out there and just see if you hear fiery explosions, or if they're just like the vampire's like, what the fuck? Did they just throw water at me? Did you
just
throw a
throw did
water balloon? Oh, you want a water
you just throw a used condom at me?
balloon fight? What are you doing in there?
What the fuck? So yeah, geez, I mean, we're just rolling right into that, and then it's just back into the last fight, which
It's a good fight.
They are given a lot of time to like ponder and talk and absorb things as they change. That's something that always like, it's always like in, I think a lot of action movies, sometimes you'll see where like someone's fighting like a big group of people, but like really they're only fighting like one or two or three people, while the rest of them are just kind of standing around doing their kind of their bounce or like fight mode or whatever, just kind of running back and forth. And I'm like, there are only four humans left in this bar. Like, how did the vampires not just take them immediately? Especially with, again, I agree that crossbow. I was like, I need to sit and learn how a crossbow works. And then also,
Yeah,
even the
practice.
best, your best crossbowist, I mean, that's still a pretty slow reload time to make that
That's
work.
true.
I would just end up just taking arrows, put one in each hand and just start stabbing, if they're that soft, right? And then same thing with George Clooney's like weird like pump machine. It just seems very slow and very like just very inefficient. So granted, ended up working for Scott with his water balloons. Well, it didn't because he ultimately,
I know. Scott has a good death.
Scott's got a brutal one.
No, like
It's
it's pretty fun to watch. Like them just on him. Love it.
yeah, he's like just
But
fucking
why did
doing,
they
okay.
blow up? Like they just blew up when she shot him.
Oh, why does he blow up? I have no idea.
I think that's one of the things that I like about this movie, is that it's so fucking insane at this like third act that I'm just kind of just like, oh, he blew up. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen next?
Sure.
Yeah. No, they can just get away with it. And the preacher looks really good as a vampire.
Yeah, he does. He looks good.
I like his look, and I like that he's the first vampire that bites Scott.
Shouldn't have hesitated, dude.
Yeah, at
No.
all. If, for
You
the
promised.
record, if you change into a vampire, I will fucking stab you in the heart so fast, without even thinking.
Why wait until you turn? If you're
No,
bit.
I'd be like, listen, just kill me now. I don't want to be a danger to you. Like, we're friends. Like, I don't want to be the one to have to murder you. So, you know, I think that's a fair. That's fair. I wouldn't be offended.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I mean, I'd try to do it quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it would be just like slowly with a butter knife just trying to decapitate you.
Yeah. And then yeah, you get fucking, we brought it up earlier, but yeah, Tom Savini, turns out if you decapitate a vampire, they just turn into a like a rat dog situation, which was
It's a pretty
fucking
good rat, though.
fantastic.
It's pretty good. It looks so great.
And then how does, I got so confused how Frost dies, where, because you know, George or Harvey Keitel like shoots him with the shotgun and has the gun like through his stomach, but like not
Oh,
through his
love
heart.
that too.
Yeah. And then all of a
Yeah.
sudden he just like melts.
Melts. Yeah,
And then
that's a
that's
good
before Harvey
point.
Keitel turns. Which I did think that was pretty good, where they were like coming after Harvey Keitel and then they stop, but they just start
I
circling him.
love
So you
that.
know he's
Yeah.
turning. That was a good touch.
Yeah, that's super fun.
I like how Juliette Lewis just like come in to like fucking shoot Scott. She like also has a quick like roll between two that just
Oh
like kind of
yeah,
run into each
she got
other.
so badass so fast.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, fuck, that's pretty hardcore. You know, oh dude, when he's just hanging up and he's just like, kill me, Kate, kill me, you
Yeah.
know.
She says I
Just like,
can't, and then a second later she's like, I can. This is pretty fucking sad.
yeah, this is pretty sad.
George Clooney says something really good to her that I've never heard before. So you'll have to tell me if you've heard this expression before. Because he asks how many bullets she has left. And she's like, I don't know, not that many. She's like, should I save them for us? And he's like, no. When you run out of bullets, you're going to cold cock them and make them sing for their supper. Have you ever heard anyone say, make them sing for their supper? What is that?
No, but I like that. It's like, no, you got to make them work for it.
What? See, I was thinking, I don't know why I immediately thought of like a child like crying for their like dinner, but I'm like, that makes me sound like a really cruel parent. My son does not have to cry for his dinner, everyone.
Yeah, Natalie's bean dad, everybody. We'll see how long that reference hangs around. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's what I would assume it would mean, is just like, you know, hey, fucking, yeah, just make them work for it. You know, if they're gonna come, if we're their dinner, like, you know, they can fucking sing
Oh,
for
because
it.
they're their supper.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whoa, that went right over my head.
That's okay. I don't even remember him saying
Okay.
it. That's the first I've heard that.
I've never noticed it before, but I had subtitles on today. So when I was watching it, I saw that and I was like, what? And so I wrote it down because I thought that was so strange.
But yeah, fucking sunlight to the rescue, right?
Ah, thank goodness.
That's pretty fun.
Love that. Yeah, I
Then they
love them
hear,
all blowing up.
yeah. And just, you know, and Cheech Marin and his fucking team, you know, come in, you know, burst down the door.
I love
What are
it. Their
they?
faces.
Because they
So
see
good.
it, you know, they're like, what
Yeah,
the
they're like,
fuck is.
what the fuck?
And then of course nobody checks like the backside of that building. That's got to show up on Google Maps, right? Like, or
Yeah.
Google Satellite or whatever the
Well,
fuck.
not in 96.
Well, I mean, now it would.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously they'd have to change their plans,
And we
but
had
now they're all
satellites in
dead.
'96 too,
Okay, but
you
were they
know.
doing like Google Maps things? Again, the
No.
internet is not my area of expertise, but I don't think that was in the cloud yet.
Not quite. We hadn't navigated that part of the Netscape yet. So, but I just love, I know it's a, it's when, oh, it's rough. When Cheech Marin's like, what are they, psychos or something?
Did they
And
look like
George,
fucking psychos?
Psychos don't explode when sunlight hits them. I don't care how fucking
How
crazy
fucking
they are.
crazy they are. That's such a good line. I'm
I
telling you,
know.
George Clooney has the best lines.
Attributed to Quentin Tarantino, but yeah,
No,
he
I
sells
know,
it
but I'm
really
saying
well.
like he gave that character like all the best lines.
Yeah.
It's
And then all
also, you know, it's Quentin Tarantino's birthday today, the
at the
day that
time
we're
of
recording this.
recording.
Yes, at the
Aw.
time of recording. I thought that was kind of funny. Weird
Oh, well,
coincidence. Not planned.
many pleasant returns. I saw him outside of a Morrissey concert years
Oh,
ago at the Staples
interesting.
Center. Actually, it's not called Staples Center anymore, but whatever it's called now. Yeah, so yeah, it was by the Gretzky statue.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Wayne Gretzky.
No, I know who Wayne Gretzky is, but I don't know what statue you're referring to.
Oh, okay. It's a statue of, never mind. I don't think it's Cheech Marin's fault and should have to negotiate a better rate for taking him to El Rey. Like, just if
I absolutely think that's fair.
I'm like, what? It's a popular place. You said you wanted to meet somewhere. Like, I don't know. I've never been here. How many times are
Pick a
I
place you
don't.
bet. I would pick a, if I was going to be doing criminal dealings, I wouldn't just be fucking looking through the yellow pages because, you know, the internet was shoddy. I would just be looking through the yellow pages trying to find the place and be like, oh yeah, Titty Twister, that's the one.
Sounds and then what? But if you look at the pictures and shit, it does, like I said, looks like the Disneyland of strip clubs. So he's probably like, hey man, this will be a fun spot. Don't even worry about it. And then let
Yeah.
me ask you, like, if you and a friend are going out to dinner and someone's like, oh, you pick a place and you're like, fuck, I don't know. Like, all right, but they're like, but let's try somewhere new, just somewhere, you'd recommend. And then you end up picking a place and you both go and the dinner isn't up to the expectations of either of you. Is it your fault? Is it all on
Yeah,
you?
absolutely.
Huh. I mean, like, look, you're like, what? What do you want
You're
me to do?
asking the wrong person. You know that if you picked a shitty place and we're like, I don't know, I just took a shot in the dark and it was shitty, I'd be like, God fucking damn it, Kyle. This is all your fault.
Look, I didn't know they're gonna be fucking vampires. Like, good. That's not fair.
That's true.
But
He couldn't have known that. Like, worst case scenario, he was probably thinking like, oh, the tacos aren't really good there. They say they have the best Mexican food, but they don't.
I mean, they must have food because it said, I remember on the neon signs, it was like, girls, 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 this and this and this. It also said carnitas. So I was
Yeah,
like,
he said they had food.
oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
He said best in Mexico, and George Clooney said, I highly fucking doubt that.
I thought he was talking about the tequila.
No,
It
he's
was the
talking
best in
about food
Mexico.
because he said, you have food here? And he said, best in
Okay.
Mexico.
So, yeah. And then also, well, you're left with just George Clooney and Juliette Lewis, and she's got a little bit of cash, but then, like, I don't know, like, does she have, like, her ID?
That looked like a good amount of cash. And yeah, she would have all of her shit in the RV.
So what's her plan? Just to
What bothers me is, one, she asks if she can go with George Clooney. And I don't really know what that was about. I'm like, they've got to have other family, number one. Number two, was she like asking him in like a like let's just be like companions way? Like she
Yeah.
just needs like family. So she's like, you saved my life, like even though you put me in this shitty situation. Like, so she's like, why not just live a life of crime? Like, you
Yeah.
know what I mean? But I like that he's like, nah, like go home. But let's not find out if you know how to drive this fucking RV yet. Like, just leave her behind. What if she didn't know how to drive that?
I would have taken one of those motorcycles if I were her. Just because, I mean, you just go, well, it's daylight, so you're good. You just walk back in the
Can't
Titty
just teach
Twister.
yourself to ride a motorcycle. There's no way that fucking girl has ridden a motorcycle before.
I don't know. You taught yourselves how to fight vampires very quickly, so I think she can figure out a motorcycle. I think
Okay,
she'd be
fair enough.
fine.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I'm just like, does she have ID? How does she cross the border again? Let's just with all that cash. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
She could easily hide the cash, but it would be very suspicious her coming back from Mexico just by herself in an RV.
I guess she's probably got a change of clothes in the RV too, because she'd be covered in blood still. Yeah. So that brings us to the end of our movie. Anything you want to say before we do our finishing bits?
Yeah, I've seen this movie a lot. I think it's really great. And this might be the most I ever enjoyed watching it, because it's been a while. Like, I'd say it's, gosh, it's probably been like 10 years since I've watched this movie, I think. And so it felt very fresh. Like, I didn't remember a lot of like the jokes, and watching it to prepare for this, like, I just really enjoyed George Clooney's performance and line delivery so much. Like,
yeah,
I just thought it was so great. Yeah, I think it's just a really fun movie. I would recommend this to people, absolutely, like 100%.
Yeah, George Clooney would go on to play Batman a year later.
I like George Clooney as Batman, so nobody better talk any shit.
I'm sure probably people are.
I wasn't talking about you specifically, but.
Yeah. I think people have softened on that movie a little bit, both the Val Kilmer one and the George Clooney one. But I don't know, whatever. Batmans are Batmans, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's got a favorite, and that's okay.
Well, the favorite is Michael Keaton.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no fucking contest there. I'm just saying the other ones weren't bad.
Yeah, some combination of Keaton, Burton, Conroy. No, not Burton. Sorry. It's a Tim Burton movie, but Keaton, who am I thinking? Adam West. Yeah. And Kevin Conroy. Definitely the best Batmans. Sorry. That's another hot take. Not a big Christian Bale guy. But when we said those movies. But yeah, that brings us to the end of our fun little
we made
romp.
it.
Yeah. So our next segment, taglines. What sort of taglines we got for this?
We have 7 taglines. These are all over the place.
Okay, I love it.
Okay.
I'm prepared.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to read them in order of which ones I think are the worst to the best. That's what I've been trying to do. But
okay.
You know, you never know. Okay, well, we'll get this one out of the way. From Quentin Tarantino, from Robert Rodriguez, from Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay, that's informative, so you know.
Yeah, you learn some things. A terrifying evil has been unleashed, and 5 strangers are our only hope to stop it. Doesn't sound like the right movie.
No. No.
Right?
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah. I don't like that.
One night is all that stands between them and freedom, but it's going to be a hell of a night.
Okay, so they are it's getting better.
Yeah.
I'm
trying.
Yeah, so okay, they do make their, you know, I get that. Go ahead.
Okay. How far can too far go? I probably should have put that one before the last one.
That would have been a funny one tagline for the movie Fargo.
Yeah, I think so too.
How far can too far go? Fargo.
Oh, that's dumb.
Well, and honestly, yeah, and it fits. I think it fits with the movie too.
Yeah, you know?
So, yeah.
Okay. The showdown is on.
Oh, that's so boring.
Yeah. Cheap drinks, loud music, vampires. This will be one hell of a night. I think that one's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, I think this one's the best one. Spoiler alert, everyone.
Okay.
Vampires, no interviews.
So stupid.
Because when did Interview with the Vampire come out? In 1995? It's like a year before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one's my favorite, even though it's dumb. But I don't think any of these are really great. And I like the idea of them not revealing that it's vampires. So maybe one night is all that stands between them and freedom, but it's going to be a hell of a night. That works.
Yeah, I agree. That one's probably my favorite.
Yeah, that's your taglines.
All right, so boo scores. You go first.
I feel like I've gone first quite a few times in a row. I think I'm putting this one on you.
Oh fuck. Okay.
Yeah. Are you prepared?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
This movie is the last 45 minutes of this movie. It's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Just like I love all the practical effects, so much that it'll excuse some of the shoddy CG of the mid-90s.
Yeah.
The characters are so much. I mean, my favorite characters in the movie don't show up until they get to Mexico, and
True.
that's Tom Savini and Fred Williamson
They're
and
so
Salma
good.
Hayek.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, this, I just feel like it's always just kind of, I don't know, the movie just kind of plods through the first segments and it's fine. I just, it's just, and maybe that's what it is. It's just, they just really want to make this movie just kind of pretty boring by every metric. And then once we get there, just like you just go from literally from zero to a fucking million
Those are
pretty
harsh
quick.
words. I do not think the beginning is boring. Maybe if you've
Yeah.
seen it a million times, like we have, but I don't think it's boring.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
But you do have to say
Yeah, I do. On record,
the
too.
rules.
Let's see. I am going to give this movie 3.5 booze.
I agree. That's mine as well.
Think we always land on 3.5.
No, that's not true. We
Really?
have
Okay.
a lot of variety. I
I love
hope
it.
no one is keeping track to hold me to that. Okay, the last movie we did was Sinister, and yes, both of us landed at 3.5 booze. That's just a weird coincidence because
Yeah.
before that, I don't see any 3.5s.
I think the
Okay,
cast
maybe a
is
few.
all really good, with the exception of Tarantino. I don't like him in movies. And his character could have just been taken out entirely. I didn't think it was necessary. Because I feel like Clooney honestly could run a better operation by himself.
Oh, for sure. I don't think there would have been as high of a body count, if
Yeah.
any, if it was just him.
Yeah. So I would have, yeah. But I do, again, like Tarantino's vampire look. It's pretty good. So
Yeah.
yeah, like I said, yeah, just I love all the effects. It's great. I like the music a lot too. I love body parts as instruments. That's really fun. It's like those old like cartoons where like the xylophone's made of bones, and so
Yes,
it's
I just can't help but picture in my mind the band just sitting there constructing these instruments while everyone else is fighting and murdering each other. Like they're not helping out, they're not eating. They're just like, you know, it'd be really fucking badass if we turned this guy into a guitar.
Oh, you think they did that on the spot? I thought they already
I
had the
thought that.
instruments ready.
See, I thought they did it on the spot. Like you need fresh bodies. That body looked fresh.
Right. So, I mean, so he's dang, dude. So you're thinking he's also like a body part, what do you call it? Luthier? Dudes that make guitars.
That definitely was not the first word that came to my mind. No.
Like a Lucifer luthier. I could probably figure out a way to combine those a little bit. It would sound cute.
You think about that.
I will. 3.5 booze. You want to
Yeah.
elaborate any more on your boo score?
Okay, so although I do agree, the last 45, maybe 48 minutes of this movie, once the vampires and the new characters are introduced, is a perfect movie. It's really, really great. And that really does account for a lot of my score. But I also do enjoy the beginning of the movie a lot, especially I hadn't watched it in a long time, so it felt very fresh. But I enjoy the crime parts and the dynamic of the two brothers getting to know them, then them getting to know this family and their journey getting to the titty twister. I enjoy that part, but the reason why it's not like a four even is because that is a very long portion of the movie before we get to any of the horror, which is done really well. So it loses a little bit of booze on there for me.
Okay. Anything else you got to say before we wrap up?
No, just everyone never forget how hot George Clooney is. It's important.
I think I like him better when he's got a little more gray in his hair
A
than
little
he
more
has
salt and
here.
pepper. Yeah, when he first hit that like salt and pepper hair like on the red carpet, whew, what a smoke show.
Good for him.
Yeah, great for him.
Okay, everybody. That wraps it up on From Dusk Till Dawn. And gosh, take care. Appreciate you. See you later. Whenever. 3, 2, 1, ghost. That was our episode on From Dusk Till Dawn. Thank you so much for listening. Please hit subscribe, hit like, leave a review, do all the things on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. We'd certainly greatly appreciate it. If you want to keep in touch, if you want to interact with us, if you want to validate Natalie's thirst for George Clooney and all the things, please feel free to do so. You can follow us on Instagram at 321ghostpod, or you can email us at 321ghostpod@gmail.com. And honestly, that's all we got. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for sticking around. And remember, psychopaths do not blow up when sunlight hits them. We do not care how crazy they are. Take care, everybody. 3, 2, 1, ghost.